Good morning. We are beginning today's daf. Today's daf is 112 Kuf Yud Bet. We left off on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Bet, 111b at the Mishnah in the middle of the page. Today's class should be for the refuah shlema of all the cholim of bichlalam. Chemda barachav achadim zan elimel chanukah benefkas sarab admonir shalom misarad David ben rachel yafav bedivran rukav bedachav yirifkav bedesef shalom misarad fayim elayam shem rachana yafav ben miriam yivadam nifach hayas abrisman rukham rachana simchad ben makam mera bedachav yidish ben miriam חנה ליאנה בת נעמי רחל אסתר בת תמר אסתר בחנה גבר גדול בברכה דן ועשה איתן מלאלי יעקב את אמר מכה לשם הנטע הרי מניחה יוסף בן ראש ומרשם בן נינה יוסף בן יפה תניה בן דינה שמחה בן ליה אפרים בן ליה חללית בן ליה מרגלית בן ליה ולהבדיל לנשמע דוד בן אליהו בנימין בן יצחק גדיה דינה בן אפרים שמעון בן ישאל רינן מכה בדן בועז בן אברהם. Okay, we left off at the Mishnah in the middle of 111b. Mishnah starts and says, Yavam katan shabal yavama kitana. If you have a Yavam, a brother of the deceased husband, the deceased brother, who went and slept with his young sister-in-law, meaning they're both under bar and bat mitzvah. Yigdelu ze'im ze. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, they should grow, wait till they grow up together in order for them to both be chayav and mitzvot. Then it says, ba'al yivamak gedolah, if he was a child and he went and slept with his sister-in-law who was an adult, tigdelenu, she should raise him until he becomes bar mitzvah, so that he's chayav and mitzvot as well. If let's say Yevama, she gets taken by her brother-in-law, and then within 30 days she comes and says, he didn't sleep with me, he didn't do Be'ilah. So kofinoto she'achlotzla, we force him to do Chalitza. Whereas le'achar 30 yom, if she came after 30 days, mivakshin hemenu she'achlotzla, we only request from him to do Chalitza with her, but we don't force him. The Gemara will explain why. And whenever he agrees, he admits it, even after 12 months, if he admits that he didn't sleep with her, we force him to do chalitza. If a woman takes a vow not to benefit from her brother-in-law in the life of her husband, her husband's still alive, she says, I don't want to ever benefit from my brother-in-law. And then the husband dies. So kofinoto she'achlotza, we force him, the brother-in-law, to do chalitza. Whereas le'achar mitat bala, if it was only after the death of the husband that she made this vow, mivakshin himenu she'achlotzla, we request from him that he does chalitza, we don't force him. Vim nitkavna lekach, but if she had the proper intention for that, from when she was married to the husband and the husband was still alive, afilu chaye bala mivakshin himenu she'achlotzla. Even in the life of the husband, we only ask the brother-in-law to do chalitza afterwards, we don't force him. Meaning the idea is, if she had intention deliberately to not benefit, meaning she expected the yibum to come, and she deliberately did not want to benefit from the brother-in-law in that way, then that's when we say we only request from the brother-in-law to do chalitza. Whereas if she didn't think it was going to happen, she didn't have that intention, and she didn't actually think she will fall to yibum, and it ends up happening, then we force the husband to do chalitza. Okay, Gemara. Lema matnitin deloker Rabbi Meir. Let's say our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir. The Tanya, as the Braita says, katan uktana, lo chotzin velo mityavimin. If you have a child, a girl or a boy, and a boy, they do not do chalitza, nor do they do yibum. Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are words of Rabbi Meir. So you see, our Mishnah started with, if you have a young boy and a young girl, they went together, they slept together. You should say they grow up together. How can they continue growing up together and potentially sleeping together if Rabbi Meir says they don't do chalitza or yibum? So clearly, this Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. The Gemara says, no, afilo tema Rabbi Meir, even if you say the Mishnah coincides with the opinion of Rabbi Meir, ki amar Rabbi Meir gedola lekatan. Rabbi Meir was talking about an adult girl to a young boy, or uktana legadol, or a young girl to an adult boy. Techad v'inahu biyad yisurahu, because one of them is having a forbidden relation. And the way Rashi explains it, if it's a young boy to a big girl, or adult girl, bat onashin hi, she is the one who gets punished. Because what happens is, maybe the child will come out to be a seris, someone who's not capable of reproducing, and therefore she was never chayavet to do yibum with him to begin with, because he's a seris. So we don't know, because he's still a child. So that's why if he does chalitza yibum, if he does yibum with the child, if one of them is an adult, she would get punished, or the adult would get punished. Aval katan, right? Biyad yisurahu. Aval katan, but a child. Habal ketana, who slept with another child, a woman child, the tarvayu kihadadinenu, both of them are the same. They're both children. Lo. So over there, lo amar. Rabbi Meir in that case would not even say that that case is a biadi surah. And it could be that Rabbi Meir agrees in that case. And so therefore, our Mishnah could be that it coincides with the opinion of Rabbi Meir. And Rabbi Meir was just talking about when one of the people for Yibum was an adult. But the Gemara says, V'haketane ba'al yevamah gedolah tigdelenu. But it says if the young child sleeps with the adult Yavama, what happens? She should take care of him. What does that sound like? She should take care of him and they will continue having relations together. So you see that, well, it's not like what Rabbi Meir is saying, that it's only if it happened or something of the sort. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Chosaa, Ba Shane. He says Ba is different, meaning the case of if he came and slept with her, that's a case where it's like, oh, it already was done. It already happened. So if he came and slept with her, ba is different. But when we're telling you what to do, ideally, that's not the ideal thing that Rabbi Meir would tell you to do. The Gemara says, v'hat tigdelenu ka'amar. But it says, she should raise him. That what? The kol bi'ah u'bi'ah disurahu. Every relation they have together is going to be asur. So you see what? It's not only saying, oh, he came and did it and it's over with. No, he's saying you can continue staying with the woman even though he's a child and they can stay married together. Rather, it sounds like the Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That's the easiest way to sound. But the Gemara says, Kari Khan, if you try to say the Pasuk over here, Lahakim Lahachiv Shem, that the Pasuk is for the Mitzvah is the brother to come and raise a name for his dead brother now. We know, V'hayla Barachihu. This young boy who is not bar mitzvah does not have that obligation. So how can you be able to do yibum? Amar abaye, amar kra, yevama yavo aleha. It says the brother-in-law comes and sleeps with her. Kol dehu, any age, any type of brother, meaning if he's a brother in any way, no matter what age, he can come and perform that mitzvah. Rava amar, Rava says, belav hachi, nami lo matzit amar. Rava says, no, even without the pasuk, you can't say that it's asur. Why? Mi ikamidi, dehashta asir ale, ulbatar sha'ata sharia. Is there something by Yibum that right now is Asur, but in 1 hour it's going to be permitted? How can that be? So it's either, the way it works in Yibum, it's going to prove right now, it's either it's always Mutar, or it's always Asur. Is what he says. V'ha amar v'yuda amarav. Kol yevama she'en ani kore b'shan nefila yevama yevo aleha. Any brother-in-law, any yevama, that I don't call at the time of the falling, for her to fall down into the mitzvah of Yibum, I don't call the pasuk, that the brother-in-law should come and sleep with her. Why? Like for all the examples we learned in the beginning of the Masechet. If it's, let's say, arayot, or a co-wife of an arayot, or something of the sort, that there's no mitzvah over there. But then let's say someone dies, so therefore she's not an arayot anymore, or she's not a co-wife of an arayot, but she was when the mitzvah fell down to her. So if at the beginning, bishan nefila, there's no yevama yavo aleha, hare hi ke'eshet ach sheyesh lo bani ba'asura. It's considered his brother's wife who has children and is asur forever. Meaning it's either at the time when she falls to the mitzvah of Yibum, she's permitted or she's forbidden. And if she's permitted, she's always permitted. If she's forbidden, she's always forbidden. So how can you say that no, really, in the beginning she's forbidden, the person is forbidden, and then only afterwards it becomes permitted. It's either he's always permitted or it's always forbidden. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema hachinami. Okay, maybe we can say that. Maybe we can say that the child, this young child under bar mitzvah, is always forbidden. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says, "Ki yeshvu achim yachdav." When two brothers settle together in this world, that's when the mitzvah of yibum applies. Afilu ben yom echad. Even if, let's say, a person had a brother who was 1 day old and then he died, so that 1 day old brother has a mitzvah, has a zikah binding to perform the mitzvah of yibum, even though he's only 1 day old. So therefore, it does not matter the age. At any age, if he's a brother, even for 1 day, that's considered a brother. Yevama she'amra, we said, if the Yevama said betoch 30 yom, within 30 days that he didn't sleep with her, bechule bechule. So, man tana de'at tiltin yomin mokim inish anavshe. Who is the author who says that until 30 days, the man refrains himself from having relations with his wife up until that 30-day mark? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, it follows the opinion of Rabbi Meir. It's interesting. Part of the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. The other part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. Okay? So he says, how do we know it's Rabbi Meir? The Tanya, the Baraita says, this is in Masechet Ketubot, I'm going to get there. It's in the Tosfot, but he says, Ta'anat betulim kol shoshim yom, divrei Rabbi Meir. If let's say a man marries a woman, and he wants to come and say that I didn't fight right in the Ketubah, he says, I want to marry a virgin. He's like, I'm marrying a virgin. And then all of a sudden, he slept with her the first time, and he sees that she's not a virgin. So he comes to the Beit Din and says, Ta'anat betulim, I tried to marry a virgin. I was told she was a virgin. She was not a virgin. Right? He's only allowed to do that, though, right after the first time they cohabit together. So the Gemara is saying Rabbi Meir's opinion is within 30 days, if he comes and says within 30 days, Ta'anat Betulin, that I didn't find her to have her virginity, that's believed. Why? Because within 30 days, it could still be that that is the first time they cohabited. So Rabbi Meir is that opinion, that until 30 days, he can refrain from having relations. That's the point. Rabbi Yosef says, Nistera, if they went in private together, then the altar. Then right away after they're together private, he has to come and make that ta'ana and say that I didn't find a virginity. Whereas lo nistera, if they did not go in private together, after kamashanim, even after amount of years, he can come and make this ta'ana. So this is they're trying to say that our Mishnah over here follows Rabbi Meir in this regard. Rabba says, Afilu teima Rabbi Yosef. Even if you say our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosef, Ad kan no kamar Rabbi Yosef hatam. Until this point, Rabbi Yosef was only saying over there, Ela be'arusato, with one's betrothed, with one's arusa, with one's engaged wife, the gisba, that he's more comfortable with her, and so therefore it's more common for him to have slept with her. Whereas aval eshet achiv, his brother's wife, that he's not so comfortable around, and it's a little bit awkward. Flipping the amun, mizbaz baziz minay. They're like bashful. He's bashful of her. He's like embarrassed of her, and he's not gonna. You know, it's not gonna be so common for him to go and sleep with her. So that's why it could be that even according to Rabbi Yosef, this would work. But since it's his brother's wife, we would not assume that within that 30 day that he would sleep with her because he's not so comfortable with her. So then the Mishnah said, ad shekofin oto. We said we force him to do chalitza. So the Gemara is saying, until you say let's force him to do chalitza, why don't you force him to do yibum? And you said we force him to do chalitza. Why do we force him to do chalitza? Let's force him to do yibum and they marry together. If she comes and says that he didn't sleep with me. So Amar Rav, b'shigita yotza mitachad yada. That's talking about a case where the husband gave her a get. She has a get already in her hands, coming out from her hand. And so therefore, since she has a get in her possession, that's why she can say, hey, I want out of this relationship, and so I want him to just do chalitza. Meitibe, I have a contradiction. Yevama she'amra betoch shiloshim yom. If a yevama came and said within 30 days, lo nivalti, he did not sleep with me. Bein shehu omer nivalti, bein shehu omer lo valti, whether he said I slept with her or not, kofin oto she'achlotza, we force him to do chalitza. La'achar shiloshim yom, if it was after 30 days, mivakshin him in she'achlotza, we ask him, we request from him to do chalitza. He omered nivalti, if she says that he slept with me, v'hu omer lo ba'alti, and he says I did not sleep with her, hareze yotze yotzi beget, he should get rid of her with a divorce. Hu omer ba'alti, if he says I slept with her, v'hi omered lo ba'alti, and she says he did not sleep with me, af al pi shechazar ve'amar lo ba'alti, even though he comes back and says actually I did not sleep with her, sarich get v'chalitza. We need both a get and chalitza. So this is the contradiction. The contradiction over here is, the Gemara is saying, we need both a get and a chalitza. If we are talking about a case that it was only, that she already had the get, she already had the get in her hand, she just wants chalitza, why over here it's saying, you need both a get and chalitza? She already has a get. So she just needs chalitza. Amar Rabbi Ami, shircha chalitza im gita. No, what it meant to say is that she has the get, she needs a chalitza with her get. So that's why it's saying, she needs a get with the chalitza, meaning she needs her chalitza with the get that she already has. That's how the Gemara is explaining. Rav Ashi says, "Hatam get zikato." Over there, in that case earlier that we said the bigita yotzam itachad yada, that she already has a get. That's talking about a get for her binding, for his binding, for the binding together by yibum. That's what the get is for. But hacha in our case, what we are referring to is get lebi'ato, is a get for bi'ah. So it's two different types of gets, two different gets for two different intentions, and that's why it's not a contradiction. A story. If you had two people, Yavam and Yavama, they both admit that, they both agree that they did not sleep together. They came in front of Rava. Amar lehu Rava. Rava said to them, "Chalutzu la v'sharu la tigira." He said to him, the husband, "Do chalitza with her and let her business go free. Let her go free." Amar le Rasharviya le Rava, Rasharviya said to Rava, "V'hatanya son the brayta tzircha get v'chalitza." We said the brayta, you need both get and chalitza. So Amar le itanya tanya. He said, you know what? If that's what's taught in the brayta, I guess you're right. Then that's what's taught in the brayta. Ba'amine hon bereid Rav Nachman mid Rav Nachman. Hon, the son of Rav Nachman, asked his father a question. He said, "Father, I have a question. Sarata mahu? What's the law with the co-wife? Is the co-wife permitted or forbidden?" So Amar Lei, "V'chi mipnei she'anu kofin u'mevakshin te'aser tzara." What, just because If he comes within 30 days, we force him to do chalitza. If he comes after 30 days, we request him to do chalitza with the woman. So therefore, the co-wife would be forbidden? No. Why would the co-wife be forbidden if we force him to do chalitza or we ask him to do chalitza? That should have no effect on the co-wife. Then we send our Mishnah, hanoderet hana'a, if she takes a vow not to benefit from the brother-in-law. So Tnan Hatam, who's talking to Mishnah over there. Where is it referring to over there? Probably in Nedarim. Barishana hayo omrim. In the beginning they used to say, shalosh nashim yotzot venotlot ketubah. There are three women who can get out of the marriage and they take their ketubah. Ha'omeret me'ani lecha. If let's say you have a wife of a Kohen who says that she is tameh to him. That what? She says, eshet Kohen sha'amra lebala ne'enasti, I was raped. The itzara aleh, that we know a woman who was raped and she's the wife of a Kohen, she becomes forbidden to him. Only if she's in Israel and she was raped, she gets to go back to the husband. So that's case number one. Case number two, hashamayim beini leveinecha. If she says, the heaven is between me and you, what does that mean? It is known that you're not sleeping with me, that you're not sleeping with me, we haven't slept together. So that's another case where she can get out of it and take her ketubah. Netulah ani min hayehudim, third case, if she says, I am removed from all of the Jews. What does that mean? She's saying, I'm removed. She's taking a vow not to benefit from any Jew, including her husband, including this man himself, so that she can get out of the marriage and get the ketubah. That was in the beginning. Chazru lomar, at the end, they actually came and said, shelo tehe isha notenet an enea ve'acher. They didn't want a woman to put her eyes on another man, umikalkelet al bala, and then like mess around with her husband and just get rid of him. Ela ha'omer tme'ani lecha, if let's say a woman says, I was raped, Tavi ra'aya litvareh. She has to bring a proof to what she's saying. V'hashamayim beini levenecha. If she says that the heaven is between me and you, meaning we haven't slept together yet, so ya'asu derech bakasha. He should treat her in a she should do it in a more like respectful way, that she asks of him, like she requests of him to give her, to get rid of her, to let her go. And the Baal has the obligation to treat her, litnahegba min hag yafeh, the Rashi says that, to treat her with proper respect or proper customs. That's case number two. Case number three, if she says netulani min yehudim, that we originally said, if she says I am removed from all the Jews, she can get out of the relationship with the husband. Yafer, later on they came and said, no, you can't do that. He can annul that vow of hers. Chelko, yafer chelko, he can annul his portion. Umeshamashatu. And what happens is he can now sleep with her because he can benefit. And then at the end, if she ever wants to go and remarry, she took a vow that she's asur to all other Jews. So he can annul the vow because he's her husband. And so he can sleep with her, but nobody else can ever again. So this is a way that we do it, that if she wants to get out of it, it's a negative for her, not a positive. It was a halakhic question. When she says, I'm removed from all the Jews, what is the case for the brother-in-law? Let's say she's married to this man, and she says, I'm taken from all the Jews, I'm removed from all the Jews. And then her brother, her husband dies. So is she permitted to the brother-in-law or not? So the Gemara says, Mi maska da'ata demayit ba'ala? Would she have thought that her husband would have died? V'nafla kamei yavam? And she would fall in front of the brother-in-law? Allah, or perhaps not. Rav says, yavam eno kebal. The brother-in-law is not like the husband. In the sense that, the way Rashi explains it, that the husband is required to do a hafarat nidarim, to annul her vow, because she made that vow. She says, I'm removed from all the Jews. It's based on the husband. But the brother-in-law is not required to do that. The brother-in-law would be mutar to marry her, to do yibum with her. That's Rav's opinion. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, Yavam harehu kebal. Shmuel says, no, the brother-in-law is like the husband, and he would need to annul the vow as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Kevatei de Rav Mistabra. It makes more sense following the opinion of Rav. The Rav said the brother-in-law is not like the husband, so he does not need to annul the vow. Ditnan, as the Mishnah says, Hanoderet Hanami Yavama. If a woman takes a vow not to benefit from her brother-in-law, Bechaye Bala, in the life of her husband, while the husband's still alive, Kofin Oto, and then the husband dies, Kofin Oto Sheachlotz, we force the brother-in-law to do Chalitza. So the Gemara says, Ve'im Ita, and if it's like you're saying that really it's like Shemuel, it's not like Rav, the maska ada'ata, that she had in mind, she thought this was going to happen. If anytime we said earlier in our Mishnah, that whenever she thinks it's going to happen, and she has intention for it, and she thinks it's going to happen, that she will fall to Yibum, so we don't force the husband to do Chalitza. Mivakshin mibayilei, that next Amud. We request from the husband to do Chalitza. So it should have said, if it's talking about a case where she has intention, she knows it's going to fall out like that, she knows she's going to fall, or she thinks she's going to fall to Yibum, and she's doing it with intention to get Asur to the brother-in-law, We don't force the brother-in-law to do chalitza. We request from him. So why did it say we force? Clearly, it does not sound like Shemuel. The Gemara says, "Hacha v'mayaskinan." What is the case over here? Be'isha sheyesh labanim. No, what we are talking about is a case that she has children, right? And the only way that, and when she took this vow, the only way that she could actually fall to yibum to the brother-in-law is if her husband and all of her children die, and the husband dies, and she's left with nobody, and then she falls to yibum. That's the only case. So, the kulehai lo maska da'ata, she wouldn't come to think so far that all of that would happen. Aval ein la banim mai, but what about if she did not have children? Mevakshin, then we would say, we request from the brother-in-law to do chalitza, we don't force him. So the Gemara says, adetani, instead of teaching in our Mishnah, im nitkavna lekach, that if she had intention for this, afilu b'chaye ba'ala mevakshin, that even in the life of her husband, she had intention to forbid herself from the brother-in-law, that we just request from the brother-in-law to do chalitza. Mevakshin mimenu sheyachlotz la. Instead of saying that we just request, liflog velitne bedida, why don't we argue about the actual machloket itself? What's the actual machloket? When do we say that we force the husband, the brother-in-law, to do chalitza? B'sheyesh la banim. That's only whenever she has children. So she doesn't think it's going to come to a situation where she will fall to yibum. And then all of a sudden it did. Aval ein la banim. But if she does not have children and she made that vow and the brother and the husband dies, mevakshin, we would only ask. That's what the machloket should be. But this is not what was written in our Mishnah. So why didn't it write this machloket in the Mishnah? Ela shma mina, we must learn from this. Lo shna yesh labanim, it does not matter if she had children. Velo shna ein labanim, it does not matter if she did not have children. If she makes this type of vow, kofin oto kerav shma mina. We would force the Yavam, we would compel and force the Yavam to perform chalitza. And this goes with the opinion of Rav, who said that when a married woman per se takes a vow, she doesn't consider the possibility that, let's say, yibum will happen, regardless of whether she has children or not. Okay, hadar anach beit shamay. I think we stopped there earlier for today because it's the end of the parak. Baruch Adonai Olam. Amen.